Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, August 25th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Whitman County Sheriff Meyer says his department only used the Flock license plate cameras for searching for vehicles about six times before deactivating them due to public pushback. Moscow moves forward with grant application for restrooms at Lola Clyde Park. And Idaho State Police break ground on new forensic lab. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Whitman County Sheriff Brett Myers says he thinks he and the undersheriff have only entered about six license plate numbers into the three Flock license plate reader cameras since the cameras came online several months ago. The sheriff's department announced last week it would deactivate the three cameras because of community opposition. Myers told the Spokesman Review in an interview this week that has happened. Myers said the cameras have been largely ineffective so far, but they have helped solve three cases. One license plate search was for a missing elderly woman who the Flock cameras verified had never traveled through Colfax. Police eventually found the missing woman in Boise. The other two cases were a search for a vehicle related to a narcotics case and a search for a stolen vehicle. Myers said of the three Flock cameras positioned around Colfax, I think we might have entered as many as six plates, and I think two or three of them were our own deputies' plates just to make sure the cameras were working. He said Whitman County's Flock cameras were only to be used for stolen vehicles, major crimes, or missing persons. Myers said his deputies were not allowed to use the Flock system without having a case number and without going through administrative staff. Instead, only he and his undersheriff were allowed to input data or search for vehicles. Last week's Sheriff's Department Facebook post said the department did not share camera information with outside agencies. A number of police agencies that use Flock cameras share their data with Flock's nationwide network database. In recent months, there have been reports of law enforcement officers using the Flock cameras for personal searches. A Washington Post investigation found at least 50 law enforcement officers who were either charged or accused of using the license plate reader cameras for unauthorized uses. More than half those cases were police using the technology to track wives, girlfriends, former partners, their exes' new partners, and women that they wanted to meet. In March, Southern Idaho television station KMVT reported Jerome County Sheriff George Opadik used Flock camera data to search for his wife's vehicle hundreds of times between July and September 2025. Regarding his decision to deactivate the Whitman County Sheriff's Department Flock cameras, Sheriff Meyer said he believes his department is effective because the community trusts them, and he does not want to break that trust. He said, quite honestly for me, I look at it and I'm like, look, I value my privacy, I value those things, and if for some reason this is causing a major disruption right now in our community, there's just no reason to go forward with it. Meyer said the Sheriff's Department first considered contracting with Flock about 3 years ago, but there was no money in their budget for it. More recently, the Whitman County Emergency Management Department gave the Sheriff's Department a $25,000 grant for a 2-year contract with Flock. Although they are called automatic license plate readers, Flock cameras also create a data profile of every vehicle that passes its cameras, including make and model, bumper stickers, dents, etc. The Spokane County Sheriff's Department uses Flock cameras, but the sheriff told the Spokesman Review earlier this year he made sure his department's Flock camera data was locked down, meaning the data would not be automatically shared on Flock's nationwide database. Sheriff Knowles made the statement after another media outlet, Range Media, reported law enforcement from Johnson County, Texas, had accessed the Spokane County Sheriff's Department flock data looking for a woman in a Land Rover with Texas plates with an entry that said, quote, had an abortion, search for female. Sheriff Myers said there have been cases where the flock cameras might have been valuable in Whitman County. He said, but again, not at the point where the community is concerned to the point where they're now distrusting their own local government. That's not our goal. I've never needed this technology in 30 years of law enforcement. The Idaho State Police broke ground on a new $29 million forensics lab today, which will be located next to the Idaho State Police headquarters in Meridian. Republican Governor Brad Little was on hand and said the state has needed a new facility as its population has grown in recent years. Little said, the people that have been here expect a safe environment, and you can't have effective law enforcement if you don't have the tools that they need to do their job. According to the Idaho Capital Sun, the new lab will increase the speed of DNA testing and include latent print examination, forensics for digital devices, and establish whole genome sequencing. The lab will also have technology for solving gun-related crimes through the National Integrated Ballistic Information Network. Idaho State Police Laboratory System Director Matthew Gamet said the average turnaround time for DNA tests is currently 30 to 45 days. Gamet said the state police hopes to routinely provide DNA test results within a few hours in the future. The Idaho State Police does have an active forensics lab, but Gamet said space is limited. He said, we have no more space to put scientists in a desk to work, and we have no space to be able to give them analytical space to spread out the evidence and do the analysis, and we have no place to put instruments. Money for construction of the new lab came from the COVID-era American Rescue Plan Act, which President Joe Biden signed in 2021 and which has provided billions in stimulus funding throughout the country. You're tuned in to the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by Stop Northwest Gas Expansion, an alliance committed to exposing the truth about the harms to our health and safety caused by toxic and explosive natural gas, and preventing these harms by stopping the expansion of gas supply, including increases in gas pipeline pressure.
KRFP is also sponsored by Rembrandt Tree Care, family owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
The Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission has imposed a hunting limit of 300 wolves statewide for the upcoming season. The new lower quota reflects a lower estimate of the number of wolves in the state. An estimate using the patch occupancy model earlier this year showed the wolf population in the state is about 725 instead of the previous estimate of 1,094. Last year, the limit on hunting wolves was 452 after the state legislature directed the Fish and Wildlife Department to cut down on the wolf population.
The Trump administration is doubling down on efforts to open up more of the nation's public lands to extractive industries. Plans to repeal the 2001 Roadless Area Conservation Rule come on the heels of the Department of Interior's new review of how wilderness areas are managed. Kelsey Yarzab-Yates with the Sierra Club's Wyoming chapter says these moves put millions of acres of Wyoming's critical wildlife habitat and outdoor recreation areas at risk. She says Wyomingites don't want to see their favorite places to fish, hike, and hunt clear-cut, drilled, or mined.
Here in Wyoming, we are uniquely exposed because none of the lands under review are permanently protected. And that includes wild country right on the doorstep of Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks.
A Wilderness Society map details Wyoming's undesignated public lands now under Interior Department review. Nearly 2 million acres near Grand Teton and Yellowstone and another 1.5 million acres of backcountry byways could be impacted. The Trump administration says opening up public lands to industry will boost the economy and that repealing the roadless rule will reduce wildfire risks. Yates says the administration's efforts are not about improving economics for ordinary Americans. She says allowing lands owned by all Americans to be exploited will only boost profits for large corporations.
What they're really seeking to do with these changes is to weaken or eliminate protections for undeveloped public lands, which are critical wildlife habitat, their backcountry recreation opportunities. They are part of our identity as a state here in Wyoming.
The roadless rule currently shields more than 58 million acres of national forest lands from road building, hard rock mining, oil and gas production, and industrial logging. After generating millions of public comments, it's widely considered to be one of the most popular conservation efforts in U.S. history. Yates believes Trump vastly underestimates how much people value public lands.
The very lands that he is seeking to open up to development and extraction are the very places where everyday Americans take their children out to go hiking or fishing or on their first hunting experience.
This is Eric Golatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service.
As climate change-fueled wildfires continue to burn in Southeast Oregon, groups are organizing to support some of the state's most impacted residents, farm workers. The drier side of the state has endured weeks of persistent wildfire smoke and air quality advisories since July. Eddie Melendrez with Oregon Food Bank has been supplying masks, sun protection, water, and other resources to farm workers in Malheur and Harney counties. He says the need is great.
What we're seeing is that our essential workers continue to work even when there's smoke or there's fire, but we've heard concerns from even the field workers on their physical health, their respiratory health, how it impacts them being out there in the long days, in the sun, in the smoke.
Melendrez says while field workers continue to get their work done despite the conditions, the increase in fires and changing climate conditions may soon hit the food supply and raise prices. But he adds that extreme heat and fires have become more common in the last few years, and people are learning to be more prepared. Oregon has some of the strongest heat and smoke protection laws in the country, including mandating access to shade, water, and cool down breaks. But Melendrez still believes there needs to be more awareness and education about the issue. He adds it brings him hope to see that more people are starting to understand the challenges facing Oregon's rural communities and farm workers.
Once one organization or one group of community members sees somebody else out in the fields, it starts this chain reaction of others wanting to give back, others donating, others putting time into going out to the fields and sharing resources.
People in Southeast Oregon are more likely to experience food insecurity than in other parts of the state. The latest data from Feed America shows nearly 1 in 4 children in Malheur and 1 in 5 in Harney County regularly don't have enough to eat. One of the resources Melendrez shares with workers is Oregon Food Bank's Food Finder website, where people can find free food sites across the state. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday recommended the city submit an Idaho Community Development Block Grant to the Idaho Department of Commerce for $245,000 to build a new restroom for Lola Clyde Park. Lola Clyde Park is under development on North Polk Street Extension, adjacent to the Palouse Clearwater Environmental Institute Nature Center property. City Grants Administrator Elisa Anderson told the committee the City Council would be required to hold a public hearing at their September 8th meeting on the issue. Here's Anderson, followed by City Supervisor Bill Belknap, who said the grant would allow the city to move up the Lola Clyde Park restroom project by 5 years.
Within the staff report, we included a copy of a sample application for this type of project, the quote, and then also the documents that the mayor would be required to sign, the certifications, the citizen participation plan, and then the notice of public hearing. So the presentation to City Council on September 8th, will be a public hearing.
So the bathroom projects, we did have installation of the bathroom at Lola Clyde Park scheduled as 2031 project. We are trying to take the opportunity to advance that while we're doing the pathway and the road frontage improvements to get this all done at one time and also reduce the likelihood of damage to any of those improvements at some point in the future. So pursue the grant, we'd like to be able to get the bathroom installed concurrently with all the other improvements. If not, then we'll continue to follow the CIP and do it at that time.
That was Moscow City Supervisor Bill Belknap, preceded by City Grants Administrator Elisa Anderson, speaking at yesterday's Moscow City Council Administrative Committee meeting. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. There is a red flag warning that will be in effect from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. tomorrow due to wind and low relative humidity for the Palouse and Hell's Canyon fire zone. The drier and windier areas will be located along and south of U.S. Highway 12. Southwest winds 15 to 20 with gusts 30 to 35 in the fire weather zone. Relative humidity between 10 and 15%. Any fires that develop will spread rapidly. Outdoor burning is not recommended. And taking a look at the forecast for the Moscow Pullman area, it'll be partly cloudy tonight with a low of 55. Tomorrow, patchy smoke before 9 a.m., widespread haze before noon, mostly sunny, high 92. Increasing clouds, low 54. Wednesday night, widespread haze. Cloudy through mid-morning Thursday, then gradual clearing, high 83. Current temperature is 90 degrees. Idaho Department of Environmental Quality real-time air monitoring shows the air quality in Moscow and all of north-central Idaho at this hour is moderate. Air quality at this hour in eastern Washington, including Pullman, Clarkston, and Spokane, is moderate. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Coming up, we have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, 6:30 to 7:30. At 7:30, live in the studios, we'll have Rude Awakening on the air till 9:30. The Brent Bent Memorial Show is 9:30 to 11, and at 11 o'clock tonight, we will have an episode of Sons of Patriarchy. So stay tuned for all that. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of north-central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections.